In each day, fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. Dead to the world would I be, O Father, dead unto sin, alive unto thee. That's our desire this evening. They tell us about the solar system. We study about the solar system. We observe some of it. That there are, we have the sun or the sol, at least in Spanish, maybe in Latin as well, where we get our word solar, at the center of it. And then we have four inner planets and four outer planets. And study that in school, read about it different times, but we have these planets revolving around the sun. And the interesting thing about that that I find fascinating, there's a mathematical orbit going on, the orbit is in the shape of an ellipse that has two focal points. And one of those focus point is where the sun is, and the other's an imaginary, I'm going to say, spot out in space. But there's a gravitational force in that focus, in that sun. And the planets do a mathematical shape, orbit, and ellipse around that as it orbits. But then among some of the planets have a moon or multiple moons doing their orbit around them. And again, it's gravitational pull. There's a center there. There's a focus that is pulling them in. And as they get in closer, they go around faster. But it's constantly matched with that force pulling it in. And as they get out farther, as they reach in, it's an oblong, an ellipse, not a perfectly circular. Now, the Earth is fairly circular orbit, or else we would get extra cold and extra hot over certain times. But each of these planetary and lunar bodies are orbiting around that focus, around that point, the gravitational pull. And I would like to just put up here several things that we can have as centers in our life. Just thinking about different aspects of our life, we have. Family, we have church, we have financial, material, work. Maybe I'll put work, employment as a separate one. We have self, things specifically relating to ourself. We have community. Different aspects, different areas of our life that we relate to. There's social part of our life, reputation, and there's some overlap. But we have these different spheres of our life. Which is most important? Sometimes we try to prioritize, put in priority the different responsibilities we have. What's most important for me to do? What should be my focus? Which ones are good? Which ones are bad? Which is most important? Which is least important? Which one do I consider most important? What is the focal point of my life? Then we can have a center in our life, just like that sun is the center of the solar system that everything is orbiting around. Even the moons, as they orbit around the lesser bodies, they're orbiting around the sun. But we can have any one of these things we can have as our center in our life. Family's important, absolutely. Church is important, absolutely. Self, social life, we kind of categorize these as priorities. But what's the center? What is the core center of my life? What's the focal point? What's the center of your dreams? What's the center of your focus? What's the center of your thoughts? What's the center of your love and affection? What is it that drives your life? Any one of these can be central in your life, can be number one priority in your life. And the interesting thing about that is, when no matter which one it is, if any one of these is central to my life, everything else will orbit around it. If my reputation is central to my life, if that is number one priority in my life, family will orbit around it. I'm going to definitely have my children in line in public. They're going to find out when they get home if they're not. The way I appear at church is definitely going to orbit around my reputation. My social life is going to orbit around it. I may or may not associate with certain people because my reputation's at stake. If church is central to my life, everything else is going to rotate around that. I'll leave work on time to be at church on time. My apologies, I arrived late tonight. My social life will go around my church life. My finances will be subservient to church if church is the central part of my life. All other things can be justified in relation to or relative to the focal point of my life. If community is the number one priority of my life and community relationships, then the rest is going to fall in place. I should have put another one up here. I think I'm missing one. Recreation is one I wanted to add to this. If recreation is a focal point of my life, work is going to revolve around that. I'm saving up for my next boat, snowmobile, vacation, whatever you want to put. My family is going to revolve around it. If this is number one in my life, my family is going to revolve around that. I may leave my family for a week or two to go on whatever expedition or vacation I want to do. And everything revolves around whatever is core to my life. All others can be sacrificed in favor of my number one priority. And it's not always considered a sacrifice. When I have to give up my number one priority, that's a sacrifice. But all others, if self is number one, I can sacrifice family, I can sacrifice community, I can sacrifice including financial, I can sacrifice depending what, as long as it's serving self, I can sacrifice it because self is number one priority. If the next social event, if I just live from one social event to the next, to the next, to the next, and just social life is everything else, other things can be sacrificed to be able to do that. Everything is justifiable according to the center of your life. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. I'd like to read verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Let's move down to verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Sometimes we compartmentalize each of these things, and well, we have our family time, we have our church time, we have our financial responsibilities, our work, we have our time for self, we have our recreation. And yes, we can dedicate a certain amount of time to each one, maybe, and a certain amount of attention to any given one at a given time. But the reality comes back that our lives are revolving around a center. And I will not put up here among the group spiritual life or Jesus Christ. We have to have that right here in the center. And then we need everything to revolve around it. And it's not, should talk just a little bit about the concept of, I call it false dualism. Dualism is, Oxford Dictionary says, the division of something conceptually into two opposed or contrasted aspects. And an example of that is good versus evil. That's dualism. There's good and there's evil. But what I call it false dualism, is that there's somehow there's the material and there's the spiritual, and they're somehow opposing or completely separate of each other. And I don't believe that's true. I believe that there is an aspect of that, yes, we do live in earthly bodies, we relate to material things, but they are very much connected with our spiritual lives. It is not, I have my spiritual life and then I have my work life. I have my spiritual life and then I have my family. I have my relationship with Christ and then I have my social life. And it's not that the material is bad and the spiritual is good, but much rather the material serves the spiritual. On the good side and on the evil side, the good versus evil part of dualism, the material serves the temporal and the carnal. But these things, all of these aspects, are not and do not need to be necessarily in competition with our relationship with Jesus Christ. These things need to revolve around that. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If our focus, our focus has to be on Jesus Christ and our relationship with him, our affection, he calls it, our center, our focus, our affection, that the love of our heart, what we revolve around is Jesus Christ. Not on things on the earth. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your affection on things above. Your affection with Christ in God. And then family revolves around our relationship with Christ. And our children see that. Our financial lives revolve around our affection, which is Jesus Christ. If our love for Christ, if we have a full love for Christ, that our heart is turned toward Christ, finances are not, money is not evil. Money is not the root of evil. The love of money is the root of evil. When it is the center, that's the root of all sorts of evil. But when our love is on Jesus Christ and our center is focused on Him, then those things become a blessing to eternal things, to eternal values, eternal investments. They're not in competition with, but set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all. Social interactions, young people. Social interactions, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ is the center of your life, your social life revolves around that. Your relationships are healthy. And sometimes you're challenged by somebody else. Sometimes you challenge somebody else. But you have a healthy interaction and you have good times together. Yes, you enjoy social interactions. But they're not all about what I get out of it. They're not all about the pleasure. You know, even church should not be the center of our life. It's a very important part of our life as it revolves around our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a very important part of our life. The brotherhood is a very important part. I'm not promoting individualism. Submission to a brotherhood is a very important part. But my focus, your focus, must be your relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you have that, and your brother has that, and you learn together, and you grow together. Romans 12. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is a living sacrifice? A living death. Yes, even self has to revolve around Jesus Christ. Self has to be crucified. Self has to be sacrificed. A living sacrifice. A living crucifixion. Day after day after day. But just as if any of these is our center of our life, everything else, we sacrifice it because of what is at the center. Again, repeating the concept, if money is the core center of my life, if that's where my affection is, I will sacrifice family. I will sacrifice church. I will sacrifice maybe even my reputation. Yes, I'll sacrifice my reputation. If money is the center, if that's what I love, if that's what I'm after, that's my drive, is to be rich, it doesn't really matter what my reputation is. I can walk all over anybody I want to, anybody I can, that I'm capable of doing. If money is the center, I will sacrifice anything else for it. But if Jesus Christ is the center, we sacrifice anything else. And that's a living sacrifice. That everything else is subservient to our walk with God and our love for Jesus Christ. And we have these gravitational pulls constantly doing battle in the universe. And God has set it up in a very orderly way, that it's in balance and so on. The sun is much stronger than the others. It helps keep them in orbit. But we have, in the spiritual world, in our struggle with carnality, we have a lot of pull. There's a lot of gravitational pulls. And we can choose which one we're going to give dominance. We can choose the level of gravitational pull. But we have the choice that we can put Christ in the center. And we need to constantly go back. And there's a certain amount of tension there going on all the time. There's a pull out and there's a pull in. There's a pull out and there's a pull in. But when Christ is at the center, then our perspective changes. It affects all the other circles. The way we view them is different than when we have something else at the center of our life. And again, back to the concept of the dualism. Or sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking, well, I have my spiritual life, but, well, business is business. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. But we must be careful. Our spiritual life does not go on vacation when we're at work. Nor when we go on vacation. Spiritual principles do not go on vacation when we're on vacation, when we're enjoying recreation. We have to be careful not to separate our lives into compartments and say, well, yeah, but we're on vacation now. Or I'm at work now. Integrity, well, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. What we're really saying there is there's something else at the core of our heart, something else in the center. There's a gravitational pull going on, and we are really revealing that there's something else that we love more than we love our Lord and Savior. Because when we start to excuse whatever you want to put in there, it's revealing that things are starting to revolve maybe around this, rather than around this. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice is a holy sacrifice. It's committing everything to the Lordship of Jesus, and it's letting, obviously, anything that is sin is completely out. That's out of the solar system. That's in outer space. That's gone. But things that are otherwise legitimate must be part of that living sacrifice and rotate around, revolve around our relationship with Him, and become secondary, become subservient to, which is your reasonable service. It's only logical. It's only reasonable to give our lives a living sacrifice. When Jesus owns us as creator, and then He gave Himself for us, it's only reasonable. He gave everything. You think about what Jesus did for us, leaving the glories of heaven, as we say. Perfection, honor, I don't know how to describe it. I live in a finite human body on earth. It's hard to describe. What did Jesus leave? But he came to earth to suffer, to be rejected, to be mocked and ridiculed over and over through our life, to be continually pushed back against, and finally to be crucified by his own creation. But he did that out of his love for us, and it is only a reasonable service. It's only logical for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice to him. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When Jesus Christ is the center of our lives, there's a renewing of the mind, as opposed to when we were serving any one of these other and we need a continual renewing of our mind, because we continually face these pulls back into those things, into our heart. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and it continues to want to drift toward putting something else as number one. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Pretty much everything earthly that we build occasionally needs renewed. It needs remodeled. It needs maintenance. Sometimes it needs parts changed out. Sometimes it needs a new paint job. But it needs a renewing, a continual renewing. And I find that in the Christian life, we need a continual renewing of our mind. And we need to continually come back to re-guide our focus back to Jesus Christ. So that he drives our decision making. That everything is justified or condemned according to Jesus Christ. That everything else is subservient to. And going back to Colossians. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, yes, there's a lot of things we do in life. We don't necessarily think about this. I'm doing this for Jesus. There's a lot of things we did today. We didn't necessarily think that consciously. Well, I'm doing this for Jesus. But the fact is, if Jesus is number one, the center of my life, and the center of everything I do, the fact is it had an influence. It affected the way you responded in a given situation. It affected what you thought about. It affected what you did with temptation when it came in. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, it affects. The Christian life has to affect and permeate every aspect of our life. I mentioned business. It has to affect our business dealings. If we're a different person in the business world than we are in church, then Jesus Christ isn't the sender. If we're a different person when we're alone than when we are in public, and we allow ourselves leeway that we would never do if somebody would see us, then Jesus Christ is not the center. If our social interactions, or if we're one person when we're with one group and we're another person when we're with another group, because some are godly and some are ungodly, then Jesus Christ isn't the center. We're not revolving. It's not. He has not permeated everything. If we're a different person at home, and I just had somebody tell me this yesterday, if you are a different person Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, than you are in church, your children are going to know it. But even more important than that, it's really revealing something, who we are. Yes, our children are going to know it. We aren't going to hide that. But God already knows it, and we know it. And there's something wrong. We have not allowed Christ to permeate every aspect of our life. Let all that you do, word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. And I think this comes back to learning from Jesus as disciples of his. Learning God's character, learning his will for our life over and over and over. And sometimes we're slow learners, just as the disciples were. Often, I think I am anyway. Peter, James, John, how often did Jesus have to tell them, the person that's greatest is the least? Over and over and over. And over and over, we need to hear these things. Over and over, we need to be reminded. Over and over, we need to go back and learn from Jesus Christ and have him as the center of our lives and allow him to permeate. And I think the illustrations, just, we can't entirely fit everything into an illustration, but it might be much better to say this. Christ has to permeate every aspect of our lives. A living sacrifice. That sacrifice gives everything. When those lambs were sacrificed, they gave everything. When Jesus was sacrificed, he gave everything. And when we are sacrificed, when we lay everything on the altar, and we allow God to take control of every aspect of our life. And so I would like to just ask, who or what is the center of your life? Who or what drives your thoughts? Who or what gets you excited? What are you the most willing to sacrifice for? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And inside of every one of us, there's a Christ-shaped, Christ-sized void in the throne in the center of our hearts. It's a Christ-shaped, Christ-sized void. There is nothing and no one else that can fill that. And we can put any one of these as the center, and we will continue to chase after emptiness and frustration and void, because it will not fit on the throne of our heart. It's a God-shaped, God-sized void there. We desire something. We have this longing for something that God placed in us. Nothing and no one aside from Christ can fill that void. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that's where life is, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And then he goes on to say, mortify therefore your members. Make them dead. Mortify. Kill them. Mortify those members on your which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And goes on to say a whole list of sins, which we understand very clearly. Those things are outside of the will of God. Those things don't fit. But so easy, it's so easy for us to lose our focus and start to put something else at the center. And I would say when we start to put these other at the center, really it's self-serving. It's self that's really at the center. I'm not going to ask for an invitation tonight, but I would like to open it up this evening. If anybody has anything they would like to share, if anybody has been touched this evening or any other time, and there's anything you would like to share with the congregation, anything you've been blessed with, anything you want to confess, just maybe a little time. We have some time. It's Friday evening. But give several minutes just for a time of sharing, if there's anybody that would like to share anything. Or maybe